issues to deal with at time. If we can start so that at least at one we are done. In terms of the program for today, I'm sure members who have received the program on what we're supposed to do. Welcome, Mr. Mani, CEO for GCIS. We are not used for CEOs in government. But nevertheless, it's fine. We'll get used. Member, I was just looking at the number, how many are here, so that we can just start with the other issues. We can go back to issues which need us to be here in majority. Kieran?
Chairperson, I just wanted to say that we can actually start with the presentation. We don't need to adopt any resolution now, but we can start. Nothing prohibits us. If the Rules Committee can do that, Chair, then certainly the Communications Committee can do the same. Thank you. That is to start before we have a quorum.
Leadership from MDDA, GCIS CEO and your executive or colleagues, leadership from the advertising industry, who are here, and everyone who's here. Once you start to mention and you leave others, they feel bad, it also leave out. Is SABC here? Oh, yes, yes. Oh, okay. Honorable Ruto, we are in lunch. We are in lunch. GCIS, are you ready to give us the presentation?
Yes, Chairperson.
You can take us through. Maybe before you take us through, just to further indicate to members that we're supposed to take your presentation on the 18th with the same SDOC. But since the DOC has requested more time to do theirs, we then move you from 18 to today as your request of trying to swap so that we don't just come for the whole meeting for 15 minutes. So that's why we've moved GCIS to today so that we clear the 18 and so on. You can carry on.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, members. Honorable members, and I'm accompanied here by my top team, the three deputy CEOs, otherwise known as DDGs. I've got Phumla Williams on my immediate left, Vusi Mona, and then I've got Nebule Khwabe. And as the chair has already said, Lumkom team there is there to lead the MDDA after this, which is one of our agencies in the GCIS. I'm not leaving anyone here. Last time I left out Petra here, I felt very bad. She's not here today. Is Petra here? Okay. Anyway, Chairperson, I think our presentation is straightforward. We're going to be just taking you through progress on various key controls that were highlighted by the AG as to say what is it that we've done to make sure that we deliver on those. One of the things that was raised under the procurement and contract management was the whole issue of the recommendations was that we should put processes in place so that we can detect irregular expenditure. And then the AG also said that gave some advice that we must do some staff training and we must make sure that we do a whole lot of follow-ups so that all of this is done properly. And we're happy to report that as we speak now, the issue of an induction program for all new employees in GCIS to to emphasize the procurement procedure is now part of the induction program. So if you come to GCIS today, the first thing we tell you about is this procurement story. Also, we've also sent out circulars to members. We're very fortunate, Chairperson, GCIS, this is the one department that just about everybody has got access to a computer in GCIS. So when you send a circular, you're almost sure that your coverage is somewhere between 95 and 100% coverage. But we're also planning a staff meeting as well later this week to also just re-emphasize on a face-to-face some of the things that are important that have been raised by the AG. But we have sent out the circular, and managers ensuring that in their management meetings these issues are high on the agenda. But we sent out circulars to make sure that everybody is aware of what needs to happen. So as we speak now, that part is done. And if we look at the next issue, which is under the category of expenditure management, again, it was the issue of ensuring that the workers that are performing remunerative work outside employment, that they seek permission from the relevant authority. Again, there were recommendations that were made, and we are also happy to also advise that this has now been done. Following the disciplinary action that we took on employees that transgressed this particular regulation, we have now issued a code of ethics and values that is in the various internal communication programs. We published it in the intranet somewhere before the 25th of October, and on an ongoing basis we keep reinforcing this message. We also sent out a circular to staff explaining the process to be followed when doing remunerative work and so on. So Chairperson, I'm just saying a lot is being done to make sure that this never happens again. So we've complied with the requirements on this part. And then on this other category on revenue management, I think the issue that was raised there again was the issue around the annual tariff structures for revenue was not approved by the relevant authority. Just to refresh the members' minds here, the issue here was the fact that GCIS has got a lot of things that it does. It has photographs. It was selling photographs, but there was no agreed tariff structure and so on of all the products that we do. But we're happy to say that having asked for permission from Treasury, as we speak right now, we are in line. We've got the tariff structure. Treasury has approved our structure and has given us what we should be charging people for the various products that we have. So we're ticking that box. And also the issue that projections for the anticipated revenues for 2013 will be guided by the approved tariff. So basically the issue here was that even the revenue that we would project for the following financial year, initially it was based on some fuzzy position, but now because of the clear tariff structure, there is much more firmness and much more certainty on the revenue that we project on the products that we sell. So again, Chair, we think we are working on water on this one. And then we just thought, Chair, because of the time that we had today, we just go beyond the call of duty and tell you more about what's happening on the key controls, on what actually not what we are saying as GCIS, but what the auditor is saying as of end of October, which is a few months long after we close the financial year, just to give you a sense of where things are as we speak at this point. Now, if you look, this template, it's got the blue arrows and it's got these smiley faces here. Some are frowning. When the arrow looks up, it means improvement. When it's flat, unchanged. When it's looking down, it means regressed. But when it's And then we look at the faces. The green means good. Yellow means in progress. Red means intervention required. Now, if you just flip through, chair quickly, we look at leadership. You can see, in fact, even just looking at this whole graph here, you know, when we joke at GCIS, we say we are COP 17 compliant. Everything is green. You know, this is a very good sign. It's a very happy position to be in, to be COP 17 compliant. I'm not going to go through it step by step, Chair. I'm just showing you a flavor that at a leadership level, we are largely green. At financial and performance management level, we are 99.99% green. And then even if you look at the last column, a very important issue at the governance level, we are like 100% green. Now, if you look on the arrows at the top, they are all flat. And we don't want to brag here, Chair, but bottom line here is that when you are performing at the top, it becomes difficult to improve. So the reason that you don't have an arrow facing up is an indication that, you know, we are doing the best that can be done. So to improve when you are really at the top is quite a challenge. So just to give you a flavor, Chair, that we think that we're doing well, and it's not us thinking. So this is the AG's latest report is in October. So I really want to say that members here should just have peaceful sleeps, understanding that this ship is in good control. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chair.
You know, when Mr. Paris Machida left ICASA as a chair, I thought we are going to have less and less of these terminologies and other things and so. But he seems to find his place in you to continue. Well, members, that is the action plan presented before you. Can we, Honorable Killen?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the CEO. I think it is it's good to see the very specifics that he's reporting back to this committee on. Also, if the AG's evaluation is as good as it is, then clearly, as he indicated, we can rest assured that everything is under control. Can I just ask one question? As far as the second slide is concerned, that is the action plan. The issue of the code of ethics and processes to apply for remunerative work outside. As I understood from Mr. Mundy last time, the problem was actually not with the top four executive or senior management levels, but it was more people elsewhere in the organization. Can we now just get an indication, those who have now asked for permission to conduct remunerative work, how many of those find themselves in the top four levels that have not applied before, and how many of those are in the other levels, and percentage-wise, how many people generally, can he give us an indication, how many people that work within the GCIS? Percentage-wise, and I'm not asking, you know, the exact percentage, but more or less, is it 20% that is conducting other work? Is it 2%? What is your feeling about the extent of remunerative work outside of the GCIS? Thank you.
I thought it was going to be the easy one.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe it's a matter of clarity. I welcome this report, Chairperson, and the CEO is very confident. You can hear when he talks, and I can see here all this COP 17 screens, but I have a little concern on the number two on page. You don't have pages here. The one that speaks on leadership. I'm concerned about this. I don't know what can I call this. This is the smiling face or the grinning one, the yellow. Because I think those areas are very important. And in you, if you have those faces there, that means nothing has been done as yet, but you are in progress. I want to understand what exactly are you intending to do. I think we have it on the same page, and we have 1D also and 1E and 1F. Maybe you can explain to me. I just need clarity on this, because I think they are very important areas to me.
Kekana?
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to ask for something unusual. That the report is very impressive, but I wonder what the opinion is of the CEO about sharing the good practices there with others. You know, generally communication hasn't done well. If you consider the problems in SAPC and other areas in the past, so if I could ask, maybe you can give us the trick. How do you do it so that others can also do the same? Just give us the trick.
The medicine other than the one which we have adopted for Mr. Mashil. Honorable Panerberg.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to refer to that first block where you referred to procurement transactions over 500,000 rand were not procured and everything, but I believe systems are in place now. Did you specifically just look at amounts 500,000 and upwards? Because the devil is also in the detail. You can have 50 small little transactions of 10,000 or 5,000 or 15,000 each, and then when you compile it, it's a lot of money. Are you also, so I'm happy if the procurement is in place for big amounts, but are you sure that everything is being done even for to account for 1 cent? That's actually the business. And then I want to also say something what the Honorable Danny said. You feel comfortable with the GCIS, but I think in the whole communications fraternity we're working in, with the DOC, with all these entities, and the GCIS, with all the entities, I'm feeling sometimes that the mother organization, like the DOC or the GCIS, is not looking well after their children, being the SABC or CENTEC or whoever, or MDDA, and sort of... don't want to use the word pressurize, but to look after them that they perform well. And sometimes, you know, we feel in this committee we haven't done anything since we arrived here in Parliament, because we never see really progress because of the of some of the entities that are not working well. I think this is the broad idea. Better government in the GCIS must lead to better guidance to the MDDA and all of the other entities. I think that is very important. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Mani. She's back. I thought you had a message for her. She's back.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I think maybe if I can start with the last question. Honourable Member, we'll be pleased to know that something which is a scarcity in government, something called a clean audit, was also achieved by the MDDA. So very clearly, what you are saying is already happening. We have a lot of interaction with the MDDA, but MDDA is under very good management. And as I say, it's not me saying so, it's the Auditor General. They have a clean audit. So really, what you're asking for is already happening. With the GCIS and its GCIS and
we are a good mother. looking well after her kids.
Yeah, no, sure.
Okay, but I'm sure you'll go to the other one, which you must go now to next door.
Yeah.
The other mothers who can't look after their kids.
Yeah, okay. And then, Chair, on the issue of whether we're looking only after the 500 and perhaps not worrying about the cents in the bottom, because if you do that before you know, they say if you don't take care of the cents, you won't have the rents. So I can assure the Honourable Member that the same rigor is applied throughout. In fact, linked to this, there was a question of... there was a question of how many members at the top who are across, or how many members at the top are actually part of this remunerative work and so on. In that question, the first thing to say, the Honourable Chair, is that what has been the challenge in government generally has been the fact that the regulation was for SMS, the senior managers. What we've now done at GCIS is to make sure that the same applies throughout. Now, if I look at the number of applications that I've received from junior managers that are below the SMS category, if I've counted 10, I've counted too many. So, out of a staff complement of some 600 odd, so it's quite a negligible number, as it were. I mean, even with the top team, if I've counted two, I've counted too many. You know, so I think most of the people in GCIS are really focusing on GCIS work. You do have those very minor. It's really, I mean, if I were to work out a percentage, it would be not comma, not something as a percentage. So I want to say that GCIS people have got their focus on the GCIS work. What is the trick? Chair, I can't sit here and pretend that I'm clever. I'm here representing a team. I'm here representing a lot of people. I think this is just a reflection of the energy across the entire organization. This is not just a Jimmy Manyi performance. This is a performance of the entire organization. This is why, Chairperson, sometimes when we do a close year party and call everybody to thank them, we sometimes get under attack. And we do this because people, they work their selves to death to make sure that they produce these kinds of results. So when you just say, let me throw in a lunch for you to thank you, we also get clobbered for that. But the trick, dear Chair, is really a happy employee will produce good results. So we try at GCIS to make sure that our people management skills are sharpened. So if you look after the people, the rest will take care of itself. It's impossible to be sitting whipping people left, right, and center. So the trick really is to make sure that the people are happy. Once the people are happy, they put their creativity into the work and they put their energies in the right direction. We have what we call Public Sector Manager magazine, and we in that magazine we go around doing public sector management forums. In those forums that we do, we share some of these insights as GCIS to say this is how we do things at GCIS, and we also learn from other departments as well. Even those that are not doing well, they have other things to share that are doing well. So I think it's a two-way process on this one, Chair. And then on the issue of the these other smiling faces that the Honourable Member is worried about, I think if you look at that one, 1B for instance, what was the issue there? The issue there at 1B was the issue of the category leadership. So most of what is here, I think comfort you should get. I mean, there's something here on that leadership that talks about 1B talks to financial and performance reporting. But if you look at, and at the leadership level, so what are we doing as leadership to make sure this happens? The issue here in particular was the fact that the targets were not crisp enough. There were targets that were fuzzy, and there was a misalignment between actual and targets. It was that kind of a murky environment which is not easy describable, and which is sometimes a characteristic of communication, because sometimes people look for something very mechanical. Now in our environment, things are emotional and all of this, so you sometimes don't have crisp answers. But despite that situation, we're trying to to make sure that we have measurable targets, we have smart targets. The former whip here used to whip us about not having things that are smart. So our targets are now smart. So we hope that next time around it will all be green, as it were. But I think there should be comfort in looking at the next category, which is the hardcore financial and performance management. There you can see that it's 99.9% green. So really, the issue at the top is really just to make sure that the systems are in place, but the actual execution is going very well. So, Chair, I really think that that sort of covers most of these yellow areas here. Yeah? The yellow is not a bad sign. It means the AG recognizes work in progress. So the SG, if the AG was unhappy, there would have been a red. So a yellow just means it's not complete, but it's a recognition that it's a step in the right direction. Thank you, Chair.
Members, those were the responses from your questions. But as I've indicated, that after the Auditor General presented and make recommendation, as a committee, we make an undertaking that we'll follow it through to make sure that things are done. So this is the action plan to continue addressing the issues which the Auditor General has picked up during the audit. Like I say, that DOC is not ready. They will come back to us when they are ready about their action plan in terms of addressing those issues. I hope members are covered on their questions. Again, thanks very much. I'm sure you'll make sure that you also go to next door to influence the other mother to take care of their own kids so that they are healthier, like Brand SA and also MDDA as they are. I'm not sure whether we are using punishment or I don't know, but you said they are happy. That's why they are doing so well. Just go across the street and ensure that the rest do that. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
I will arrange a session myself and the two of you. Just there are certain issues which we need to iron out. I don't know what went wrong between the two of you. No. You said you'll be celebrating the NDA function and so on. And you also get some caution sometimes from other sectors of the society, I suppose. But the members are saying, remember that they are members too. That's but I hope whatever you do, you stay within the PFMA. Yes. If you go out, when you come here, we don't have any leniency. We just deal with what we're supposed to deal with. So whatever you do, stay within. Outside, we are on your own. You'll come here and say, hey, we took members who told you to do so. If it's outside your PFMA and other things. Thank you very much, Isaiah. Members, I've got apologies from Honorable Michael. She's not well. I also got an apology from Tambi. She's writing exams. Another apology from Nivol Trochen. She's still traveling back to the country after the conference which she attended, the board meeting which she attended. Should be just arriving probably today or so. Petra, Mr. Manny forget when you were out, he indicated that last time when he was introducing other people from GCIS, he forgot to introduce you. So I said I would do it on his behalf. but you are paying for that last time when it didn't happen. But today it did introduce you in your absence. That was the issue which was remaining. Members, let's go back to the other issues, the shortlisting of MDDA and SADC, so that we dispose of those matters before we take the presentation from MDDA, CIS, and advertising industry. As it normally happens, we had a meeting, the task team met. I'll start with MDDA. We look on the issues, because on the previous meeting we have reported that we have received 36 CVs for nomination for MDDA. However, one withdrew, and then we had 35 remaining. And the committee adopted the recommendation from the task team on our last meeting that we are going to shortlist 10 for MDDA for the two vacant positions, which were currently held by Ms. Pumelelo Ndimande and Tanya Bosch. Their term come to an end 31st December 2011. The task team further met last week and tried to shortlist the names, the 10 which we have agreed upon. And this, I'll present the recommendation of the task team on how the task team has recommended. As I indicated, that is the task teamwork. The committee then will have to agree with the task team, or if there are issues, then the issues will be discussed in the committee, and then a decision will be taken. But after the parties have met in the task team, they resolve or they recommend to the committee that the following candidates be shortlisted for interviews, which must start tomorrow for MDDA. Mr. Dennis Lilly, which was CV number 3. Mr. Zola Fihlani, which was CV number 4 on the bench. Mr. Lionel Adendorf, CV 8. Prof. Benjamin Khaudi, CV 14. Mr. Penyo Nongane, CV 19. Dr. Peggy Shome, CV 22. Mr. Adam Hub, CV 23. Ms. Renee Smith, CV 28. Mr. Mkolisi Vimbi, CV 31, Advocate Kevin S. Malunga, which was CV 33. Those are the 10 names which, after going through the CVs, the task team recommends that be adopted by the committee. However, must also indicate that subsequently we have received a letter for withdrawal from Mr. Zola Fihlani. He has withdrawn. So we are having 9. Remember, we had 10. Then we have received a withdrawal letter from Fihlani, Mr. Fihlani, that is withdrawing. The reason, all of a sudden, he remembered that he's got other commitment on other boards. So it will be too much for him. He forgot when he was nominated. But when was shortlisted, then remembered that, hey, by the way, I've got many other boards which I'm sitting at. But I must say, I think it's a fair thing to do, because to me it shows the commitment that he wants to give his time if he's being nominated. But if he's not going to be able to do so, it becomes a good thing that he withdraw, so that we is able to give other people a chance who can be able to work. Parties, that will be the 9 with the withdrawal of Zola, Mr. Zola Fitler, agreed, not agreed, it's open for discussion. DA, Mr. Van der Berg.
I think we must go ahead and the committee must adopt this 9 names and then we can carry on. I don't think it's necessary to add another one to make it 10. I think out of this 9 we will get two very good candidates to be in the position of board members of the MDDA. That's my suggestion. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I also agree, even though I regret his withdrawal.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks very much, Madam Killen, or Honorable Killen.
Jeff, technically, we are 7 members. Can we adopt that, or must we park this issue, and then are we waiting for another member to join us so that we can formally adopt it with the necessary, with a quorum requirement?
I'm told we can. Committees have been reduced from 14 to 13 formally.
Has that served before the House, sir? I just want to make sure that we cannot be faulted in the process.
I'm told, okay. In terms of the rules, we can. From 7, yes. I know you are sitting, we are all sitting on the Rules Committee. Okay. Maruto?
Just a question that I want to raise, Chairperson, about what Honorable Killian has just raised. I thought she was the one who condoned that we carry on. If the Rules Committee can do it, we can also do it. I don't know now, where does it change? Is it because we are talking about interviews or what? This process that we are in. But I think the chairperson has given us. But I just wanted to say we should be consistent when we do things.
Chair, will you allow me to explain?
No. I know. But what you explain, I think as a committee we've got few challenges. Honourable Ndabeni has not yet been replaced, so it further reduces the number of the committee. That's part of the issues. But if we're at the full strength, you should be right on what you are raising. Honorable Killen.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to explain that indeed I concur with Honorable Mastori that we should be consistent. I have indicated that we can start discussions, but when it comes to resolutions of the committee, we must make sure that we have a quorum, and that is from that perspective that I've just inquired. Yeah, it was just to make sure that at the time of taking a specific resolution, Chair, that we know that we correct. That is why I asked that.
Okay, Gekane, are you differing about adopting the 9 names so that we continue?
No, Chair, I was actually going to say let's do it and not
Thank you, Honorable Kekane. I'll read later the resolution part, which the standard thing which we must do for Parliament. But I just wanted the names to go through so that we finalize that part and only do the reading. With that, members, can we go to SABC? We'll come back to the resolution. On the SABC members, you remember that the committee took a decision that because of SABC being SABC, we'll need a bigger pool where we can choose the one candidate which must replace Mr. Peter Harris, who have resigned from the SABC board. On the meeting of the task team, we went through the CVs and furthermore, the task team recommended that we must come back to the committee and recommend that we rectify our decision of nominating or shortlisting 8 to 6 so that we are able to, because actually when we went through the CVs and so on, we had a little bit of a challenge on getting other candidates at that particular time. And then we felt that, by the way, 6 would be sufficient to get the one candidate we want. And then the recommendation was that because the committee has agreed on 8, firstly is to change that decision to 6. And then we then proceeded to shortlist 6 candidates for the SAPC in this order. Mr. Alex A. Blackis, CV8. Mr. Kenneth Herold, which was CV11. Professor Seth Hasivan Perumal, CV16. Mr. Lionel Arendorf Pindamzala, CV19. Mr. Tami Kaplaki, CV39. So that was the 6 name which we shortlisted from the CVs and also changing the decision from 8 to 6. Members? Madam Killen?
I just missed out on one of the names, Chairperson. I've got 8, 7, 16, 19, and then Tami Kaplaki.
Yes.
And which other one?
Or the 6th one. I've also missed it myself. The 6th one will be Dennis Liddy. Which will be CV number 3. Members?
Chairperson, just a point of order. I just want to make sure you also mentioned number 8. Who is number 8?
Alex Blackis. There are two Blackis and Blacky. There's Blackis and Blacky.
The chairperson, I've got number 39, Mr. Tommy Blakey.
Yes.
And then I've got. According to the this honourable Michaels gave me, isn't this a being Somba? Is that name? That's number one on the current list.
My apology. Let me start afresh. I've been reading something else here. Let me start afresh. Afresh. Number one, you are right, Honorable Van der Berg. It should be Ntabiseng P. Sambo, which is CV1. The second one is Dennis Liddy, CV3. Mr. Kenneth Herold, CV11. Professor Seth Havizan Perumal, CV16. Mr. Lionel Adendorf, CV19. Mr. Tami Kaplaki, CV39. There's one Blacky. The Blackies we later took out. So that is the 6. Is that the one you have, member?
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. And from the DA side, I put it on the table that the committee adopt this. I wasn't at the task team, but I just want to flag 2 names, Kenneth Harold and Professor Perumal. We've interviewed them many a time, so I'm not so sure if I've got the question left to ask one of them. I know both of them are very capable, and also some of the members in the past referred to Mr. Kenneth Harold being very qualified as on the older side, but I put it on the table that the committee adopt these names, and then we carry forward. We're not going to trample around these 2 names too long, but I just want to inform you, Chairperson, I haven't got any questions left to ask them. Thank you, Chairperson.
Madam Killen.
Chairperson, I just want to again ask what I asked before, and that is that my information is that we cannot, as a committee, simply implement a decision of the Rules Committee without that specific resolution to make committees smaller, having served before the National Assembly and having formally been adopted. So my concern is just, let us proceed with the interviews that have already been set up. Let us proceed with interviews, but let us then just keep the process open so that we can, when we correct, formally adopt the shortlist. Yes. Secondly, you are aware that because the task team met during the National Assembly proceedings, it was not possible for me as the whip on duty to attend. I did submit some names on behalf of my party, Congress of the People. And subsequently, the number of candidates were reduced from 8 to 6. I regret the fact that our candidates were not included on the list, but we accept it. But I just want to, in general, just raise a concern with regards to gender parity. I don't think we have, in fact, specifically in the case of the MDDA, where we are filling two vacancies where two female members served, we have a whole long list of male candidates. So I just want to register that, but obviously, you know, that is up for the committee to decide on that. I just want to register that concern. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Killen. Your problem is solved. The last member for the ANC is here. So the problem of that or that is settled now, because the ANC final honorable service is here. Can I go through the motion? As I'm required to. That's why, Honorable Killen, I didn't go through the motion original for the MDDA, because we must adopt the resolution. It was precise from the issues which we are raising and so on. But I wanted us, in principle, to agree on the name, because we must process their flight as we are speaking. They must arrange it, because tomorrow morning, 8:30, we are starting the interview. So we don't have time, so I wanted to delete that particular part. Progress report of the Portfolio Committee on Communications on the process followed on recommending a person to be appointed to serve on the South African Broadcasting Corporation Board, dated 8 November 2011. The Portfolio Committee on Communications, having considered the nominations of candidates submitted for appointment to serve on the SABC Board in terms of the Broadcasting Act 4 of 1999, reports as follows. A request from the Minister of Communication to fill a vacancy at SABC was referred to the Portfolio Committee on Communication on the 31st August 2011. You can look at the ATC dated 31st August 2011. The committee advertised a calling for nomination to fill the vacancies. The committee received 52 CVs and shortlisted and agreed on the following shortlisted candidates. 1, Ms. Ntabiseng Fetuna Sambo. 2, Mr. Dennis Lee. 3, Mr. Kenneth Harold. 4, Professor Fred Hasivan Peruman. 5, Mr. Lionel Ricardo Adenoff. 6, Mr. Tami Kaplak. The interviews, as I indicated, for SABC, we are hoping that we'll be conducting them daily, as tomorrow we'll be dealing with the MDDA. Any mover, seconder for the resolution? Honorable Mrutua.
I, Rosalia Mrutua, move for the adoption.
Nonda.
Chairperson, I second the motion.
Thank you very much, members. So adopted. For the media, we'll post the CVs, abridged CVs for the shortlisted candidate for both MDDA and SAPC to Parliament website. So don't bother us here. It will be on the website for Parliament. That's where it will appear for the shortlisted one. They are abridged CVs and so on. We go to the MDDA one. Progress report of the Portfolio Committee on Communications on the process follow on recommending person to be appointed to serve on the Media Development and Diversity Agents Board, dated 8 November 2011. The Portfolio Committee on Communication, having considered the nomination of candidates submitted for appointment to serve on the MDDA Board in terms of the Media Development and Diversity Agency Act 14 of 2002, reports as follows. A request from the Minister of the Presidency for evaluation and monitoring and other related administration as well as administration. This is the longest name. On the 3rd of August 2011, see the ATC, the committee advertised calling for nominations to fill the vacancies. The committee received 86 CVs and subsequently Ms. Claire O'Neill withdrew her nomination before the shortlisting process, leaving the committee with 35 CVs to consider. The committee agreed on the following shortlisted candidates. 1, Mr. Dennis Lilly. 2, Mr. Lionel Adendorf. 4, Professor Benjamin Hwadi. Thanks, Northwest is here. 4, Mr. Peño Nonaba. 6, Dr. Peggy Shongwe. 7, Mr. Adam Huff. 8, Ms. Renee Smith. 9, Mr. Mkolisi Mvimbi. That's supposed to be 8. 9, Advocate Sfiso Malunga, with the withdrawal of Mr. Zola Lukolo, which make it to be 9 candidates. As I've indicated that the interviews for MDDA are scheduled as from tomorrow at 8:30. I'm told in the old assembly. Any mover and the second? Van der Weg.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move that this names be adopted.
Honorable Douglas. Thank you. Why are you sabotaging? You must call your technical people, the technicians. There's a sabotage here for the member. She can't press the right button and so on. Thanks very much, members. Members, before you, you've got the reports, which I hope you have gone through them. I requested them to be circulated. Can we deal with them? The oversight visit Northern Cape and Free State and the Sea Point.
I just wanted to make a request that can we, when we meet you again, get a proper explanation. We don't want this thing that we're not sure whether we're operating with the old quorum or the new one. Just what the powers of the Rules Committee are, can they, are they allocated certain powers or everything must go to assembly, but exactly under which quorum are we operating, so that we don't end up taking decisions and decisions being reversed. I'm just going to say by tomorrow we should know.
The 15 members. Members has been reduced to 13, but the member is right that that has not been served before the House to adopt it. But the other technicalities that we have our chief we being appointed as a deputy minister, which means we are not even 14, we are 13. And there's been no formal replacement for the former whip. So which put us to down to a certain number and so on. But with the understanding that before the House adopts the changes to reduce members, we are still counted as 14, although we are dating ourselves and so on because of the whip and so on. So her interpretation that the rules will be applicable after adopted by the House is correct. Except that you are running short of one because the whip has been taken, appointed deputy minister, and she has not yet been replaced. That's it. That's how the rules are. That's why I've delayed the reading so that we've got the 8 members so that at least we are safe. With certainty, with any doubt. Can we proceed? C point report. Any other issue members want to raise? I'm not going through the pages. I'll just ask that question. If there is none, I consider it adopted. No doubt.
On the C point report, Chairperson, it's a minor point, but I think it's of fundamental importance. I've gone through the report, but I don't seem to see it properly expressed that the staff members expressed a concern that whatever the problems besetting the SAPC, which are the concern of the top management at Auckland Park, are not properly communicated downwards to regional offices, and they have to rely on media reports and other things, and therefore that they called for more interaction on the part of both the board and management to take them on board on this.
With that addition, you are okay.
I'll be okay, Chairperson.
Any different view? We'll add that. So agreed. Northern Cape and Free State report. It's a Bible. Got 32 pages. Any issue there, members, if you pick up anything? If it's no hands, I'll consider it that is okay. We can proceed. Agreed. Thanks very much for the report adopted. Let's go to the next issue which I wanted to raise with members, is that the South African Post Office bill has been referred back to the committee. The NSOP, when they were going through the bill, they proposed certain amendments. Those amendments will be circulating to you, members, so that you can start to comprehend with them. I know the issues. The first issue, there's somewhere where we put concurrent with the minister, the board concurrent with the minister. They are proposing that it should be should propose not in concurrence, and the other issue where we've put National Assembly, they are recommending that we must put Parliament and not National Assembly. I've started to consult with the legal people in Parliament. I met them. We are waiting for the legal opinion or advice from the legal people of Parliament, because the bill is Section 75. It's not Section 76. So there's a clear distinction in terms of Section 75 and Section 76. But nevertheless, I'm just waiting for their legal advice, a report, or in terms of how do we proceed with this matter. But we must just bear in mind that it's Section 75, not 76. We have rescheduled that particular matter. We are trying to find a space, I'm sure, on the 16th.
by that time there will be clarity around the whole issue so that we are able to move forward in terms of those amendments, whether we agree with them or not as a committee. Honourable Mrotwa.
Chairperson, the two issues that you have just raised, you are right to say this is a section 74. But also I'm just concerned that we are really going back. If members could remember that we dealt with this issue of concurrency quite distinctively. And I don't know how are we going to resolve this, Chairperson. But I really think, to me, it needs the NCOP to consider what we have gone through, because they are really taking us aback, Chairperson. That's what I think. But nevertheless, we are going to follow the procedures of Parliament. But as you have just said that we have raised these concerns also, and we must wait for them. I hope what we have raised is similar to what I've just raised, so that we can have progress on this. We can't go back. It was quite, strenuous to deal with it. I remember the now chairperson of Water, Comrade Johnny Dillane, was, very vocal about this. I think we dealt with this, We thought it's amicable. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Rotong. Members, we will engage on the issues when we formally deal with the proposed amendments by the NCOP. The last issue, I'm sure MDDA, you are ready now. The last issue, members, is that we received the Cape Mail issue, which was referred to the committee by the Speaker in July. Because of the tightness of our program, we didn't do much to follow up the issue. From my side, what I've done, I've communicated to post office to request the 182 employees to meet and elect 5 representatives from their side, so that it will be easy to engage, because you can't talk to 182 people. So they have since done that, but the proposal was that moving forward, probably we also need a task team from the committee, because we don't expect the entire committee to go and engage on the integrity of the issues, which then will come back and report to the committee in terms of the finalization of the matter. The number which I was looking at, at least 5 members to be part of that team, then those 5 reps from those 182 employees and also post office, then that team will work and then report back to the committee. And the composition was, we wanted probably 3 from the ANC and 2 from the opposition. But we've got 3 active opposition in the committee, which becomes a flexible issue. Whether we 6 or 5 and so on, but we just wanted that tough team. But I'm just raising that on what I've done from my side to take the matter forward. I've already met the 5 representatives for the Cape May to brief them that we have received this thing from the speaker has been referred to us. I met them last week, and then I said from our side we'll try to come with a tough team so that the work can start to be done. But I also caution that we are moving towards December. There might be not much work which can be done. Probably much work will be done and so on. But I also make an undertaking that whatever task team will come up with, maybe we'll have a first meeting with them just to discuss and then agree how to you proceed or we proceed from next year when we come back and so on. So that's what I've done from my side to take forward the matter of payment. I only want the reflection of the committee whether they agree with that approach, but I'm not expecting parties to give names now. It's a matter which we can revisit during the course of the week and see how do we move forward. Honourable Mtutu.
Yeah, I think I agree in principle with the approach, but it would be fair also to give the parties representatives according to their respective parties. But if you do that, you must also remember that the ANC is in the majority party in this parliament. You'll have to add another one. Thank you. That's my recommendation.
Thank you. Madam Killen?
I have nothing to comment.
I agree, Chairperson, subject to minority parties putting their heads together and coming up with who would play an active role in the task team.
Okay, you can do that, but if it's not possible, we can still accommodate the three of you one rep. It's what Honourable Rotu is raising, except that they will need to manage the other parts in terms of how do we deal with it. But there's no hard and fast that we want the two from the opposite. I was just trying to balance it out in terms of the formula and the busy schedule of some of the opposition members and so on. That's what I was trying to figure out. But let us say probably tomorrow parties will reflect on how are they thinking out the matter. But I was just giving the progress report, what I've done from my side on the matter which was referred to us. MDDA, are you ready? You are welcome, although members are doubting which capacity sometimes, but we are clear. You are here as an MDDA CEO. There is no ambiguity in terms of who are you representing now and so on. And our apologies, we have a lot of issues to clear before, so that we are able to give you two board members, amongst other things, before the end of the year and so on. We are all yours for the presentation, and you've got just 40 minutes to present.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, my name is Nibolo Khwabe. I'm representing the board members for the MDDA. I've got apologies.
Oh, my apology. Welcome, the board member. You see this multi-cap. Mr. Mani was here. You were next to him. He introduced you as the deputy CEO. Now you are a board member. My apology. Actually, I should have welcomed you first before the CEO. My apology.
Just to say that I do have apologies from some of the board members, the chairperson who unfortunately could not make it because she had a prior commitment. I've got Ms. Pumelel and Zimande who unfortunately because of the Gautrain, I'm told, there were some technical problems. She missed her flight, but she will be joining us later. I hope by the time she arrives, will still be continuing. I also have an apology from Ms. Pelisa Nkomo, who will also be joining us a bit late. Anytime I think she can move in. Apologies from Dr. Tanya Bosch. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it. Other members, Ndate Thato Mahapa, Ms. Ingrid Lowe, Ms. Louise Faye, as well as Ms. Nadia Bolpelia. And then the team I'm with is the CEO, Mr. Lunko Mtinde, the program manager, Mr. Nkopana Mapiri. I've got Ms. Manana Stone, as well as Ms. Harriet Maseko. I think from the GCIS, I saw Petra. Okay. Is she there? I don't have my... Yes, and Ms. Petra Van Niekerk, as well as Mr. my colleague, Mr. Vusi. What's Vusi? I'm not seeing. You see, without glasses, I can't see the future. Okay, and Mr. Vusimona. Okay, in terms of the procedure, Chairperson, I've got the chair, the CEO who's going to take us through the presentation. He's going to focus on the history of the processes, the research, hearings and oversight visits, and then he'll also take us through the progress report, and then Mr. Mapiri will take us through the industry information as well as the solutions that are being proposed, and I'll wrap up with some way forward.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson, and good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. I'll try and move fast in respect of the background slides, because we have been through this path before. We're here to provide you with the progress report in respect of the matters you had raised at the June meeting we had with yourself on a matter that goes back to the 2002 probe and the consultation processes between the DOC and the GCIS, and also to note the commitment from the marketing and communications industry to a unified view and common approach to the challenges, the transformational challenges that the industry is facing, as is all other industries in South Africa post 1994, and also to note that a lot of research work has been undertaken in respect of looking at these challenges, including the 2009 research report that was produced by the MDDA, which reflected on the who's who in the industry and the trends thereof, including the challenges in respect of the advertising sector. Also to note is another research report that was funded by MDDA, which was the Social Integration and Cohesion program, which was conducted by the HSRC and Media Works. Amongst conclusions in terms of that report was the conclusion 16, which read, and I quote, "A marketing procurement agency should be established to facilitate access by small media to government communications contracts." Another report of note is the one also funded by MDDA, which is the editorial assignment to conduct research on distribution, including sales and printing costs affecting the small commercial and community print media sector in South Africa. Again, the details of that report are available on the website, and the conclusion spoke to matters in relation to printing, matters in relation to distribution and circulation, and also matters in relation to marketing. Chairperson, I'm not reading these because we did present to the committee in June, but just to reflect in terms of the what arose out of those researches, including the public dialogue that took place in October 2009 under the banner of MDDA, the SABC, the Commission for Gender Equality, Human Rights Commission, and the ICASA, wherein there was again a discourse in respect of challenges in the advertising industry, including gender equality challenges, gender discrimination in the media, and the perpetuation of stereotypes and so forth. Also, that dialogue also dealt with challenges in relation to research, ownership, language and culture, children, and concluded that there needs to be interventions made, and we see this particular discourse as part of those interventions. Chairperson, over and above that, during your oversight visits to our projects throughout the country, you were then presented by those projects in respect of the challenges they face, and you were therefore you were able to hear directly from those projects in respect of these challenges. And then in June, you convened us here with the industry, where we began to discuss and come up with ideas in terms of going forward. Today we are here to present to yourself the progress thereof, and I'm going to talk to each of those recommendations that we extracted from the conclusions of that meeting that took place in June at this committee. In respect of the first one, Chairperson, we need to report that we have had a very fruitful meeting with the industry. One of the sessions we had was yesterday, where we discussed a number of possibilities, practical possibilities, to begin to redress the challenges faced by the industry. Amongst others is that we're going to have a round table, which we're going to invite yourselves to participate as well as the industry, the top 10 advertising agencies, the clients, and the industry in general, to then kind of appreciate the structure of the market and the players thereof, and the value add that the community and small commercial media has in respect of the industry, and therefore the need to consider making use of the entire three category or three tier structure in our dealing with the market. But also at the roundtable, we'll also confront this very topical matter of the confusion that is clearly in the market in terms of what is a community media, and we agreed that the basis of that discussion is indeed the MDDA Act, and we together with the industry will be able to make sure that we all understand the definitions of community media as defined in terms of the MDDA Act, and we're hoping that that will go a long way in ensuring that in looking at the advertising cake, we are able to know what part of the cake goes to the community sector, what part of the cake goes to the commercial sector and the public sector, and therefore be able to reflect accurately trends in terms of advertising ad spends and so forth. Also, Chairperson, we agreed that we were invited by the Association of Communication and Advertising Board to make a presentation before them that will talk to some of these issues and challenges so that we can walk this path together. We think, Chairperson, that will also go a long way in terms of making sure that we together find a resolve to this. And this is in the spirit of the very value statement that was signed by the industry in April 2003. And Chairperson, I can say here that the industry is still committed to this path of making sure that it serves South Africa at large. Also, what we also discussed is a possibility to have a module in the AAA school that deals with community media and small commercial media. And hopefully that will go a long way also in clarifying what this subsector of the sector is, and therefore assist in the implementation thereof. The last two matters that we agreed to is in respect of training, that we will discuss training interventions that we will together run throughout the country, targeting the community and small commercial sector, so that we can, through those training, capacitate the people from those projects so that they can be able to tap onto the possibilities in the advertising industry. And also we briefed the the industry in respect of the possible solution that Mr. Mapiri is going to speak to later on in respect of professionalizing the workings and dealings between ourselves, the sector and the industry. Chairperson, in respect of the second recommendation, we are also aware, just to update that column, that you have indeed linked the DTI with the Association of Communication Advertising, and that therefore there is progress and work in that regard. In respect of the GCIS recommendation, Chairperson, we have been in discussion with GCIS, and to date we can say there is a clear commitment to increase the ad spend to community and small commercial media as defined in the MDGA Act, and this commitment is effective in this financial year. So when we come back before you in terms of annual report next year, you will see increased spend through the community and small commercial media from government. And that commitment has been made together between ourselves and the GCIS. We have also discussed the modalities of the platform, and the GCIS has committed to the platform, which is the solution that we are proposing, and we're going to speak to it later on, which is basically an online advertising platform. And Chairperson, the team from the GCIS and MDGA will be engaging other departments and provinces on these developments to ensure that progress is achieved on these matters. We will also, Chairperson, ensure that in reporting in the next financial year, you will see the progress that has been made in this regard. And again, we must say that the intervention that this committee did is going a long way in really ensuring that this sector is sustainable. In respect of the other state-owned entities, Chairperson, we can report to date that we have commitments from Brand South Africa, which has committed 25% of its expense to community and small commercial media, as well as the South African Post Office, which has made commitments but have not yet given a percentage of what they will be contributing. Discussions are ongoing with the Post Office and other entities, Chairperson. It is very clear that arising out of this discourse, there is more and more consciousness from the other state-owned entities to begin to understand the market correctly and therefore be able to account for how then they distribute their advertising. But most importantly, the key behind these decisions is basically targeting the relevant communities using the relevant medium of communication. That is the key that they are beginning to appreciate. Chairperson, I'm now going to hand over to Mr. Mapiri to just talk to some of the information that we have prepared for yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Thanks, Chair. One of the critical things that we looked at as a starting point, Chair, was to look at what are the current revenue levels of traded in community media to date. And we did a comparative analysis in terms of the period starting in January to August in 2011 to have a sense of where exactly is what are the revenue levels and what are the challenges that lead to reduced amounts of money that are spent on community media as defined in our Act. And part of what we're trying to do in preparing for the roundtable discussion with the industry is to be able to look at what are the current spending patterns. And we can see that with our analysis that clearly the community media still enjoys the least amount of revenue that you actually find in this particular space. So we wanted to actually crystallize what the problem statement really is. And then moving on, Chair, is that we over and above that, we had to then look at, you know, dissect it even further to look at how much money has actually been spent on radio in particular. For instance, we can actually do even comparative analysis with other media platforms, print and so on and so on. But it's relatively easy at this stage to be able to measure revenue traded on print by all advertisers. And we're able to pick the top 10 advertisers, top 15 and top 100 advertisers and do that kind of comparative analysis. And clearly the numbers are not encouraging. In looking at those numbers, we then have to be able to go back to the industry and understand what are the challenges that the industry is actually experiencing with dealing with our sector, so that we move together with the industry to resolve those particular challenges in order for us to actually increase the revenue levels that we're looking at. We also, through our discussions with GCIS, remains committed to spend money in community media. However, she says that there's a lack of levels of professionalism within that sector. We need to be able to improve that. GCIS has not, over the past couple of months, have not been able to confirm some of the bookings that they've made on community radio, for instance. They were not able to confirm whether the stations did indeed broadcast some of the programs that they do on the satellite network. As a result, that GCIS was then compelled to actually write back some of these orders that they've generated for these stations. It's the same sentiment that many of the advertising agencies are actually raising, to say, look, we are not able to book this sector with any degree of confidence, so we need to be able to build the confidence, and some of these interventions will be able to do that. So the non-compliance issues is extremely important. So what we then did, Chair, was to then go back to the stations and the newspapers themselves to actually check the levels of compliance. So with this system, say, let's actually see who amongst our radio stations and newspapers actually comply, and what are the actual challenges. And indeed, we did discover that levels of compliance are not encouraging, to say the least. Now we're beginning to work with the radio stations and newspapers through some of the interventions that we've put in place, the marketing and advertising toolkit. We've done a lot of intervention training workshops and so on, to begin to illustrate to many of the radio stations that the importance of ensuring compliance at their levels. And with that, Chair, we are then going to be able to design a response platform. And the proposed online platform, which the MDDA board has approved in principle, subject to us presenting the final funding model and the business case thereof. The online booking platform will see a solution wherein the advertising industry at any other state-owned entities, and in particular GCIS, would be able to book through a centralized facility, which we will then develop as the MDDA, and that facility will enable us to be able to direct revenue flows to the right radio stations, to the right newspapers, and by extension also to in not so distant future to community television. So that system will enable us also to guarantee some levels of compliance, to ensure that the campaigns that have been booked are actually indeed flighted, and there is going to be mechanisms that we put in place to ensure that there is that levels of compliance. And in terms of how we envisage this thing, is that we will be able to bring in a specified and tailor-made software that the MDA will be then the custodians of this particular software, that will then develop the platform, that will be functionally autonomous, and that will be able to work with the industry, that will be able to work with all other potential advertisers to respond to the issues that they actually are raising. These will include ensuring that there is confirmation of flighting, confirmation of advertising being booked on newspapers, and be able to provide undisputable evidence to that effect, so that we increase the levels of compliance, and then that, by extension of that, we'll be able to build the necessary confidence, so that agencies will be able to, in acting on behalf of their clients, they could actually do that with a degree of confidence. Moving on, to look at also one of the biggest issues that we are considering, and our board has actually asked us to look at very seriously, is the sustainability model of this particular platform. How are we actually going to sustain this model? And we have the view that through the processes that we are currently finalizing to be submitted to our board in January, we will then look at a self-funding model, wherein a particular percentage will actually be levied from the advertising income that we generate, and that will be able to pay for the software, for the rollout, for the capacity building, for the training, for the infrastructure, and the monitoring system. All of those things, we see them as a possible mechanism that we'll be able to put in place. Most importantly, Chair, we'll also be able to look at through the partnership that the CEO has actually spoken to with the industry about building capacity at the newspapers, at the radio stations, at the community television stations. How do we ensure that they position themselves in a way that they're able to comply without necessarily wanting to compete with private sector, with the private broadcasters, or even the public service broadcaster? They become unique in their own offering, and we're able to package that unique community media offering and be able to provide that to the clients, because I think it's important that we need to be able to crystallize what is that unique selling proposition. And added to that, we'll add aspects around, research numbers and so on, in future, so that we're able to quantify beyond just giving the numbers of people that read and listen to community media, because we've seen the general growth in that sector, to actually ensure that even the advertisers actually reach those people that actually matter. One of the other elements that we're going to, well, we are putting in, that we're proposing into the platform, it would be some form of an audio auditing facility for purposes of ensuring that beyond just the online confirmation, you would then have an independent system wherein you'll be able to get the actual audio of everything that is actually being broadcasted on the radio station, that has been broadcasted on television. That will enable us to generate a whole lot of other reports. We're seeing entities such as ICASA, we're seeing entities such as SAMRO also benefiting from this exercise. ICASA has a monitoring system, but we believe with this one, we'll be able to feed into that system or strengthen what they actually currently have. So that when we generate monitoring reports for the regulator, it's properly informed. We will also be able to ensure that we strengthen the current SAMRO system, because SAMRO currently, in the manner in which they actually use to actually charge radio stations for the amount of music that they actually play, is fairly arbitrary, and stations are actually complaining about it. So we believe with this system we'll be able to provide that. But beyond that, the system will be able to generate reports such as revenues. We are currently doing it in our annual reports, Chair. You will see that in our annual reports there's a section called the environmental analysis reports, wherein we provide the South African public with detailed data of how much money goes to each station, and we're able to also to compare revenue by provinces, revenue by state-owned entities, revenue by the private sector. Those indications, those data will be able to be generated through the system, because I think it's an important market intelligence system. We can continue. The system is that it is quite an expandable system. Currently, we've got software vendors that have developed the system for the radio environment. In our continuous engagement with them, we realize that the system is actually expandable to include print and television. We've tried it, we've tested it, because what's important for us from a development agency perspective, is that how do we ensure that we build a learning industry. In our engagement with stations, with our engagement with newspapers, many of them would not even understand the regulatory environment, the license conditions. If ICASA makes any new pronouncements, many of them would not even understand what the implications of those things would be. So with this system, we'll be able to put all that knowledge onto an online platform so that communities can easily access those things. Many of them are also not compliant with SARS. How do you actually work with them to ensure that they are actually compliant with SARS? So those that are compliant, we're able to take even their tax clearance certificates and actually put them online. So that when GCIS wants to process their payment, they'll be able to do that with ease by accessing the system and actually downloading updated tax clearance certificates. So that's quite important. And lastly, Chair, the issue around the funding model of the online platform. We are at a stage where we are investigating it even further. We're engaging with the licensed software vendors to see to what extent they can actually use our economies of scale to roll out a system that would be more effective, more tailor-made. Because in the industry, Chair, every other media owner has got a system that is tailor-made to suit their own interests. We're saying it's in the community media sector wherein we don't have a system that is actually tailor-made to suit our interest. We are of the view that this system will begin to do just that, where we'll be able to present to the industry a one-stop solution, wherein we'll be able to buy a radio, to be able to cross references with community print, and community print is defined in our act so that you have the right platforms that would actually benefit from this exercise, and it's also expandable to community television in the future. Of course, subject to our discussions that we have to engage with the community television, the six licensed television stations. So we have the view that if we use our economies of scale and agree with the sector, said this is how we actually want to do this thing, and it's actually done with the interest of the beneficiaries in mind, so that whatever revenue that you actually levy from it is able to meet its own obligations, and to do that in partnership, of course, with the intended beneficiaries, Chair. And I think we'll be able to come back to Parliament once our board has actually approved the final business case and the final model that we'll be able to present, having engaged with the sector and all other players in the future. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. In terms of way forward, in terms of way forward, as we indicated, we will continue to engage with the DTI on the Marketing, Advertising and Communications Charter, especially the Section 19 of it. We will monitor other entities and encourage them to commit to a percentage of their advertising spend. Again, we'll also monitor the implementation and impact of the online platform that is once approved by the board. And together with the GCIS and the MGDA, we'll jointly work with the Association for Communications and Advertising to host, as indicated by the CEO, the top 10 advertisers roundtable. GCIS and MGDA will continue to engage state-owned entities and government departments on their online platforms. We will continue to monitor compliance and build capacity within the beneficiary projects to comply. And finally, we will roll out and manage the online platform again once approved by the board. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, MDDA. Firstly, honorable members, let me apologize for coming late. It was due to reasons beyond my control. I was stuck in a traffic in Gauteng. As a result, I missed my 6 o'clock flight. But, honorable members, you have listened to MDDA. They presented their report as requested by this parliament. I think it's now the time for members to raise questions, issues, clarifications, and further discussions. Honourable members? Honourable Davandaba?
Thanks, Chairperson. On slide number 18, I just wanted to ask the MTTA to unpack the issue of non-compliance more broadly. Who is defaulting in this particular instance on compliance issues, so that we could be clear on that score? And then on slide number 20 on the central online booking platform, does this mean that now both the advertiser, that is the entity that of government that seeks to advertise, will no longer have a choice as to say, I want to advertise on platform A, B, or C? That will now be the responsibility of the GCIS. And on what basis, what will be the criteria of channeling the adverts from the originator of the adverts? Thanks.
Chairperson, thank you. Thank you for those questions by Honourable Zondi, because that covers part of my questions as well. Can I just proceed one more further? Let me have a better understanding. If it is said on slide 26, that there will be a specific rolling out and monitoring, etc., and that there will be a levy charged by brokers. What is the MDDA foresee? What is the percentage brokering fee that they will levy? And will the fee that is levied go to Treasury? And what mechanisms will be in place to make sure that all the financial checks and Treasury regulations, etc., working with public funds, if there is levy charged, etc., how will we make sure that everything is managed very appropriately with the necessary transparency and accountability? Thank you, Chair.
Van der Berg, Ekane Tsebe.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Nondaba referred to something that's a bit tricky for me. I think it's a very illustrious plan of the MDDA. They want the spreading of advertising money to the smaller community radio stations, etc., etc. So it's worrying me that this central online booking platform, they will decide, for instance, a big advertiser give 1 million for an ad campaign, and they distribute the money to whomever going to do the advertising. So I'm not so sure about the workability of this plan. And then another thing, so as I read it from my side, this is also a plan from the MDDA to sort of monitor what is going out on air by the community radio stations. I think it's very important not to over-control or whatever, but I think if you receive a license to do A, B, C, or Z, then you must comply to that license you receive from ICASA. That is important. And I think also to document what is going out on air. For instance, the SABC radio stations, everything is recorded, and you can go back a long time and see what happened at that specific moment, so it is well documented. So I see this, it will be a tricky task to monitor small little radio stations, community stations all over the country. This will be but strongs to roll out your plan. That's only the two aspects I want to focus now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Kekan.
Chair, quick two things. The first one, I think we accept the apology by my colleague here that things will be under control. The request is that she doesn't have too many things that are beyond her control. The other one is that, it can be traffic every day. I mean, we all go through this traffic. The other thing, Chair, when we're doing oversight, Norman, don't nudge me.
No, Honorable Kekane, that day it was an issue of a banking problem. Today is traffic.
Let's
wait for the next release, what will be.
No, we can't stomach too many stories. Chair, the other thing, when we're doing oversight, we're told that small radios get the advertising through brokers. I mean, we know we live in the world of brokers. If you want a car license, a car insurance, a broker must get to the right car insurance. You can talk to them directly. Everything is broken. I think when we want to marry in the future, they'll be broken even there. So, Chair, I just wanted to check, because the complaint was that the small communities in the rural areas were complaining that the irony is that they can't make anything out of advertising because that broker is getting 80% of the income generated. Now, it didn't make any sense to all of us, because
if advertising is meant to assist small radio stations and the broker is ripping them off 80%, it defeats the purpose. I just want to know if they've addressed this matter and these brokers have been disciplined, or do we have rules, policies to control them, because otherwise they go haywire. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Firstly, Chairperson, it's on page slide number 6, where I think I agree in regard to the establishment of the marketing procurement agency. But during the presentation, I didn't hear much in regard to its funding model and the staff thereof. And on slide number 14, in regard to the progress report, in most of your issues here, you have included the time frames. But on slide number 14, in regard to a team from the MDDA, the last paragraph, in fact, a team from the MDDA and GCIS, Product Development Unit and GSSA, will be engaging other departments and provinces. I think, Chair, all of you knows by now that when you say provinces, you touch me deep down from my heart. So obviously, I want to know if it's something that is happening, how often, or there must be at least a time frame, because you cannot engage forever. There must be an end, so that when you come next time with a report, we must be able to assess, must be able to do our oversight in that regard. Also, on the matter regarding the principled board approved issues, it's not one, I think it's 3 or 4. And you are saying it's in principle because you still have to submit before us the final approvals, but for when? When will this, how long will this take you through? Lastly, Chairperson, is just a comment to say, you know, we've been dealing with the advertisements for board of MDDA, SABC, and other entities. We are here sitting here discussing the issues of advertisement, blah, 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 blah. Honorable Kekana here has touched the issue of the rural, the people down there. There's a comment to say, really, Chair, these people are denied an opportunity to nominate the people from their choice, from their communities, with capacity, with skills, to these boards, simply because of the law that we have also in Parliament. The two national newspapers, advertisement, Chairperson, is also an area of concern, because that means those people are still disadvantaged in regard to that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Muruto.
No, Chairperson, I just wanted to comment on Tsebe's passionate about the provinces, but I think she's wrongly deployed here. Can you recommend that she goes to NCOP?
Yeah. Maybe before I go back to MDDA, welcome, Mr. Naidu, the chairperson of ACA, the CEO, Odette, Ms. Odette, Fandera. Is that correct? Okay. Mr. Corey, CFO. Dad, come. In your board capacities. Not only this side, sometimes it's confused, also there's the extension of the confusion. And the CEO for us, Mamumsi, you are most welcome. I just wanted to draw it in because I'm told that it's a joint presentation.
but before MDDA could respond and so on, I wanted your comment on the issues before we can finalize the issue of questions and the other things and so on. Tea should be ready now. It's 11 o'clock. And there are those who also want to do other things which are no longer allowed in public areas. So we must also be mindful of that and be considerate. We'll break and resume quarter past 11. So that those who are doing those things, it's fine. Then those who take tea, then it's fine also. And so, let's start again at quarter past 11.
Chairperson is already rushing.